And then the next one is habit. This is the fifth one. So habit is a cause for disturbing attitudes to arise. What we get habituated with. Okay? So we get in a habit of sleeping late. Only one head nodded. We get in a habit of sleeping late, or we get in the habit, what we're saying, of turning the radio on. We get in the habit of criticizing a particular person. We just get in lots and lots and lots of habits. We get in the habit of eating chocolate. So habit is a really strong impetus for the arisal of disturbing attitudes, because we're very, very much creatures of habit. And so as soon as we form negative habits, it becomes very difficult to get out of them. Very difficult. So there's two things here. First of all, to identify the bad habits we have. And second of all, to be aware that we don't develop new ones. And in a similar way, to be aware of the positive habits we have and to make sure that they don't deteriorate and that we develop new ones. Because this whole thing of a habit, again, influences very much how things go from one life to the next life. So somebody who is very short-tempered this lifetime, in future lifetimes, will probably be very short-tempered too, unless they practice some antidotes in this lifetime. Yeah, there's no other way to make it go away. Yeah. So if we're real short-tempered, we have to practice the antidotes. Otherwise, next life, it's going to be exact same thing, you know, again and again and again. And so similarly, if we make really good habits this lifetime, you know, even just establishing a daily practice for however long it is, or we get a habit of trying to listen to people without responding right away, you know, these kind of habits also can carry on with us to future lives and be really instrumental in our practice then. And so you see, you know, children, when they're very young, they have definite habits already, things they're familiar with, tendencies. And you can see people as individuals and as adults. You know, different people have different habits. And when people are in a habit of a particular disturbing attitude and acting it out or mulling it over or whatever, that habit continues. So that's why it's really important to apply the antidotes to this. Yeah. And that's why the Buddha really emphasized guarding the senses. Because, you know, all the information we take in through our senses, through what we hear and see primarily, but also through what we taste and touch and smell, these things really have a strong impact on us. A seed? Well, no, the seeds of the delusions are there. We have all 84,000 delusions, disturbing attitudes. We have all 84,000 seeds. Yeah, this is more creating the habit, yeah, so that the seed can arise more easily. Yeah, when you have a habit with it, then the seed becomes the manifest disturbing attitude much easier. So when you read the scriptures, Buddha's talking continually about guarding the senses. And you see that's why. And try it sometime. Try walking down the street without looking in the windows. Yeah? Try it. And see if you can do it. It sounds really, oh yeah, sure, I can walk down the street and not look in the windows. Try it. Yeah. Walk down the street, walk about 5 blocks, and don't look in any shop windows. See if you can do it. Yeah, it sounds real easy. Now, when I went to Taiwan for the Bhikshuni ordination, they were very, very strict there. And when we were in the meditation room, we could not look around. You know, from the time we lined up outside the meditation room, we all filed in, and from the time we lined up, the whole time in the room and till the time we filed out at the end of the prayers, we had to keep our eyes down. We were not allowed to look around like this. Yeah? It was so hard. I couldn't believe it. Yeah? Because we're supposed to keep our eyes down, and the master would be talking, and I wanted to look at him. Yeah? And I wanted to look at the Buddha's there, and I wanted to look and see who's falling asleep and who's paying attention. Yeah? And I wanted to look at, you know, who's chanting the prayers loud and who's not. And yeah? And so we're so, just to rein in the senses and not pay attention to all the sense stimuli around us is really difficult. Yeah? And this is true even when, you know, like when you're doing prayers together and meditation together, to stay completely focused on what you're doing with the prayers, you know, in your little area. Because sometimes you'll go and, you know, like maybe there will be 20, 30, 40 people all lined, you know, you're all sitting in rows doing prayers. And doing prayers together, the puja together. And it's so tempting to kind of look and who's sitting up straight and who's paying attention and who's drinking tea in the middle and who's slouched over and, you know? And that's what the mind wants to do. It wants to look all around. And just to sit there and keep your eyes down and pay attention to what your own body, speech, and mind is doing, it's so hard. So hard. And then you look when we do retreats, and the groups usually decide to keep silence during the retreat, how do people keep silence? Yeah? We decide together as a group to keep silence? And then maybe you're talking over here, you know? Yeah? I mean, it's so hard to rein in the senses. So I think this is something that, you know, to work on. When you're standing in line at the supermarket, don't read all the tabloid headlines. Can you do that? Can you go to the supermarket and not read the tabloid headlines when you're standing in the checkout? Yeah? Yeah. You see, there's a lot of things that you said in this that were very, very conditioned phenomena. I mean, that's what the Buddha talked about. We're impermanent, conditioned phenomena. And that's what this whole discussion is about. It's like we have the seed of the delusion, and then we're conditioned by the verbal stimulus, yeah, the books, the media, the discussions we have with people, the objects we contact, the people around us, all those things. It conditions us, and it interacts, and it makes the seeds of our different disturbing attitudes arise. And we get more habituated and familiar with them, and then the cycle just keeps going like that. And then we wonder why it's so difficult to keep on track. Because we've gotten a whole lot of past conditioning, and now it's time to kind of decondition ourselves or recondition ourselves. There must be an advertisement for that. Recondition your mind. $49.99. Yeah? But that's very much what we need to do because we are condition-dependent phenomena. Yeah? We aren't isolated islands. So that's why it's so important to put ourselves in a good environment. Yeah? Put ourselves in a good environment with people that stimulate our good qualities to come out and then try and control the mind within that. It's hard enough to do that, let alone an environment where you're just completely, you know, all the things are there that you're so attached to or you know, emotionally entangled with. It can be incredibly difficult. Yeah. So you see, when Buddha talked about, you know, simplifying the life, this is why. Because the simpler we make our life, the less conditioned we're going to be by all this kind of stuff. And so that gives us the, you know, much more mental space to be able to really make choices in our life, what we want to do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those weren't any particular list. They were just, you know. To be aware of the negative habits we have and to make and to try and diminish them and to make sure we don't get any new ones. And then to be aware of our positive habits and try and maintain them. And then also try and generate new ones. See, this is the process of reconditioning ourselves. Yeah. So now we have some choice about not, you know, we have some choice about the environment that will condition us, but more important, we have more choice about our internal responses. And this is why if we slow down, we can get, you know, more in touch with our responses. And so the whole thing of thought training, thought transformation, is to try and recondition our responses. Yeah? So that when we get criticized, instead of the conditioned response of, you know, who do you think you are talking to me like that? You know, the conditioned response becomes, oh, let's listen to what this person has to say. It might be something that I can benefit from. Yeah? So you try and retrain the mind. Yeah, transform the responses to all these things. Okay, so quietly sit a couple minutes.